Welcome to the Sableton Live 12 lesson on building a ride groove for jungle and old school D&B, and shaping it with macro controls, so you can move from dusty and tight to wide and ravey without rebuilding the part every time. If you've ever felt like a ride just sits there ticking along in the background, this lesson is the upgrade. In D&B, especially jungle, rollers, darker half-step influenced stuff, and old school inspired tunes, the ride can act like a movement layer. It lifts the drums, fills the space between snare hits, and adds energy without turning the top end into a mess. We're going to work in a sampling workflow, because that's where a lot of the character comes from. Think chopped ride hits, resampled loops, layered metallic textures, and just enough imperfection to make the groove feel lived in. By the end, you'll have a flexible ride rack in Ableton Live 12 that you can play, tweak, automate, and resample like a proper instrument. First, choose a ride sample with personality. Don't grab the cleanest cymbal noise you can find. Look for something with a clear ping, a little body, and a tail that already has some grit. A sampled ride from a brake pack works great. A single hit from an old school brake can work even better. Drag that sample into Sampler on a MIDI track. For this kind of rack, classic mode is usually the best place to start if you want sample shaping flexibility. One shot can work too, but classic gives you more control over envelope and playback behavior. If the sample has a strong pitch center and it clashes with your bass or snare, don't be afraid to transpose it. Try -1 to -3 semitones, or +1 to +2, and listen for where it sits best. Now program a pattern that actually grooves. A ride in D&B should support the phrase, not just repeat mechanically. A strong starting point is to place hits on the offbeats, then add a pickup hit before the snare and maybe a few ghosted, lower velocity hits for movement. For example, try a simple 1-bar or 2-bar pattern with hits around 1.2, 1.4, 2.2, and 2.4, then add a softer hit just before the next snare. Vary the velocities so every hit doesn't land with the same attitude. That tiny variation is a big part of the jungle and old-school feel. If the groove feels too stiff, use groove pool with a subtle swing feel. You don't want it to sound drunk or late, just a little human. A small swing amount, around the mid-50s feel, can help the ride lock into the break while still feeling alive. And remember, think in phrases, not loops. Even if the pattern repeats, make one tiny change every 2 or 4 bars so the listener feels movement. Before you start piling on effects, get the sample behaving properly in Sampler. Trim the start and end so the transient is clean. Add tiny fade if there are clicks. Shape the amp envelope so the attack is quick. The decay sits somewhere in the 150 to 450 millisecond range, sustain stays at 0, and release is short enough to avoid smearing into the next hit. This is where a lot of the magic happens, honestly. If the tail is too long, your ride will start washing over the snare and the bass. If it's too short, it can lose that rolling motion. For old-school sheet metal style energy, keep a little ring. For a darker roller vibe, shorten the decay and let EQ do more of the tone shaping. Now build the processing chain. A really solid starting point is EQ8, then saturator, then drum bus or glue compressor, then utility. You can also add corpus if you want a more metallic resonant feel, but use it carefully. With EQ8, high pass the ride somewhere around 180 to 350 Hz so it stays out of the low end lane. Add a gentle boost around 3 to 6 kHz if you need more bite, and tame any harsh splashiness around 7 to 10 kHz if it starts getting fatiguing. Saturator can add density and grit. A few dB of drive, plus soft clip if needed, can make a clean sample feel much more like it came off a dusty record. Drum bus can also be great here if you want a bit more punch and attitude, but don't overdo the boom on a ride. Usually that's either off or very low. Utility is important too. Keep an eye on width, because a ride that's too wide can start to smear the stereo image and fight your hats, snare, and reese top end. Now the fun part, turn it into an instrument rack and map useful parameters to macros. This is where the ride stops being a static sound and becomes something you can perform with. A really musical set of macro assignments would be something like this. Tone controls Sampler's filter and maybe a shelf or bell in EQ8. Decay controls the amp envelope in Sampler. Drive controls saturator and maybe drum bus together. Width controls utility. Dust or dark controls a high cut or shelf down. Motion can control a subtle modulation amount if you've added something like a very gentle LFO or filter movement. The important thing is that your macros should feel meaningful. If you open the tone macro, don't accidentally make the ride a 10-second wash at the same time. The best rack moves usually combine one main change with one small corrective change. So if tone gets brighter, decay might shorten a little to keep the sound focused. This is also a good moment to map everything while the full drum and bass context is playing, not in solo. A ride can sound amazing by itself and still wreck the groove in the mix. Always judge your macro ranges with the snare and bass line running. If you want more grime or shimmer, add a second layer. This can be another simpler with a thinner metallic ride, a noisy cymbal tail, or even a chopped brake hat fragment. Layer it quietly under the main ride, or put both layers in a drum rack and use a macro to blend between them. Here's a useful setup. Layer A is your main ride body. Layer B is your texture layer. Keep layer B lower, maybe 8 to 14 dB down, and filter it so it doesn't take over. That second layer can come in more during intros, breakdowns, or fills and stay quieter in the main drop. This is a very jungle-friendly move, because it gives you that sampled collage feel without cluttering the snare. Now for one of the best moves in the whole lesson, resample the groove once it's feeling right. Route the ride rack to a new audio track, set the input to resampling, and record 4 or 8 bars. This captures the interaction between the sample, the processing, and the groove in a way that feels much more authentic. Once it's printed, you can chop it, reverse tiny pieces, trim tails, or reuse the audio as a transition element. This is one of the reasons DNB sampling workflows are so powerful. Sometimes the best result is not the cleanest one. It's the version that has a little bit of printed movement and imperfection baked in. Now let's talk arrangement, because this is where the macros really earn their keep. In the intro, keep the ride darker and narrower. Let it hint at energy without giving the whole thing away. As you move into the pre-drop, slowly open the tone and width macros. That creates tension and lift without needing a brand new drum pattern. At the drop, pull the decay back slightly so the ride stays tight and controlled, and keep drive strong enough to add presence. Then in a 16-bar variation, push the drive or blend a bit harder, so the section feels like it's evolving. In breakdowns, strip the main layer back and let the texture layer do the work, filtered and reduced. A simple automation plan could look like this in spirit. First 8 bars are darker and narrower, next 8 bars gradually get brighter and a touch wider, then the drop lands with tighter decay and moderate drive, and finally a switch up brings in a little more motion for 1 or 2 bars. That's the kind of subtle automation that makes a track feel like it's breathing. And that's really the big idea here. In DNB, arrangement is often about perceived energy, not just how many elements are playing. A ride macro automation can make the track feel like it's opening up, pulling back, and moving forward, even if the actual pattern stays pretty minimal. Before you call it done, check the ride in context with the snare, bassline, brake, and any top loop or shaker. If the ride disappears in mono or gets facey, reduce the width. If it fights the snare crack, either shorten it or reduce the high-end emphasis. If the bass is busy, sometimes the smartest move is to lower the ride by 1 or 2 dB rather than trying to EQ it into submission. A few common mistakes to watch for: making the ride too bright too early, letting the tail wash over the snare, using too much width, or programming every hit at the same velocity. Those are the fast ways to make the groove feel tiring instead of exciting. If the ride sounds impressive in solo but annoying in the full mix, trust the full mix. If you want to take this further, try a parallel grit layer. Duplicate the ride, distort or crush the duplicate, then low pass it so it acts like a shadow under the main hit. Or try a tiny bit of subtle delay, kept dark and low feedback, to give the ride a little more rave space without turning it into a wash. For a really nice exercise, build two versions of the same ride groove. Make one dark, short, and narrow. Make the other brighter, longer, and wider. Resample both, then arrange them over 8 bars and listen to which one supports the snare and bass better. Even better, build a third version with a chopped brake fragment layered under it so you get that jungle hybrid feel. If you only remember one thing from this lesson, remember this. In DNB, the ride is not just timekeeping. It's motion, tension, and arrangement glue. With a good sample, thoughtful groove, and a few smart macros, you can make one ride part carry a surprising amount of energy. So go build the rack, map the controls, resample the good moments, and let the ride evolve with the track. That's how you get from a simple cymbal hit to a proper old-school jungle vibe.